Well, good morning. So as has been said, my name is Connor, and I'm originally from Alberta, Canada. So I came down to Cape Henare about a year and a half ago, and I've just loved the experience there, and just been amazed at the transformative work that Jesus does in each individual life, both my own and also the privilege of seeing others just fall in love deeper with Jesus. And so that's a little bit about me, but I just want to thank you before I get started for this opportunity to speak in front of you. And as has been prayed, I just pray that the words that God has laid on my heart will be an encouragement and a challenge to you as well. So I'll just pray for clarity before I get started. Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity and, Lord, the significance of your words. Lord, you say that your words won't come out empty-handed. And Jesus, I just pray that this just brings you complete glory. Lord, that it is not for myself and it's not my own wisdom, not my own words that is coming out here today. But Father, I pray that I may speak in your confidence and in your wisdom. And for every heart here, that you'll be working in it. And Lord, just for clarity, that this message isn't overcomplicated. Lord Jesus, I pray that your life and your power is shown clearly through this. In your name, amen. Just bring it down there. Perfect. Thank you. So as I get started, I'll just introduce the topic. So what I believe the Lord has been kind of challenging me with recently, and the topic for today is self-righteousness versus Christ's perfect righteousness. And I was blown away this morning and continued to just to see how God prepares sermons and what needs to be said. He repeats it over and over again. And I just laughed this morning as I saw what the verse, the Bible reading for today was with Philippians 3. And I was actually reading through that last night and kind of wondering, like, because I'd seen it and it's like, this is exactly what, like, the same topic that I will be bringing across, and that's Christ's righteousness and how vital that is, that it's not of our own righteousness, it's not of our own deeds that were made justified before God, but it is Christ. So just last night I was reading Philippians 3 and I was praying whether or not I should speak on that instead of my passage or just tie it in there or whatever, and then I settled with, okay, I'll just finish off with Philippians 3. And then I come here and I see that's the first verse that is stated, so it's just amazing just to see God's faithfulness and how he prepares sermons to come about. So I just pray that this is an encouragement. So self-righteousness versus Christ's righteousness. It's kind of a tongue twister, isn't it? All the S's keep coming out. So this has come up to me about 3 or 4 weeks ago or so. I was at a conference and this topic came up, and I wrote a bit about it in my journal. And I thought before I get started with the passage, I'll read that out just to kind of give a little background on where I'm coming from and how I came to preach this sermon. So I just want to read this out and then tie it into with the message. So I wrote this on July 2nd. Something God has been challenging me with is searching my motives of repentance after I sin. Do I repent out of my knowledge of sinning before God himself? Or have I put a self-righteous standard above God where in my heart I believe I am sinning against myself? Where I repent out of fear of blemishing my own reputation, my innocence, my ministry, and so on? This struck me, for I believe there is a lot of truth in that, where I have a tendency to hold my Christian character above Christ's perfect character. My identity must change. For if I hold to this Christian life, if I hold to this, my Christian life hangs in the balance of myself and my own reputation. What if that were to crumble? Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the rock in which our faith is built, not our ability to be solid. With this I pray I may continually live and walk in integrity, not for my boasting or self-righteousness, but for Christ's work through me, that it may be untainted and in full capacity to bring glory to his name. So I was dwelling on that and wondering how will this be brought across in a sermon? And the passage that came to mind, what Andrew read out earlier, was 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. And I'll just read that one more time and then kind of just pull it apart as we go. So starting from verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, and through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what a passage that is. And again, I feel like everything, all the songs, that Bible reading, everything that has been coming into the service has been pointing us to that. And obviously, the church itself, everything should be pointing to Christ. And so it's a good thing when it is, and it's a sign of a healthy church when that is the case. But particularly, the focus on Christ's righteousness through the hymns that we're singing, and even through that one chorus of Christ is our life, I just snagged the copy just to read out some of the lyrics here. Even in the first verse, it says, "Not on things here that are perishing, for I have died, my life's in God. Jesus, clothe me in humility, in your kindness. And when Christ, our life, appears, then we will appear with him. So we put to death our sinful ways, because Jesus is our life." So obviously that's coming from Colossians 3, but it ties in with this, as it says in the first three verses there. So this first point is that our righteousness and the new creation that God has promised we have in Christ is not just for the sinfulness and the bad that we see, not the obvious sinfulness that we have, but it is everything about us. When we have died with Christ, we have completely died, not just what we see as sinfulness, but also what we might see as good or our self-righteousness. So I just want to break that apart, and because God's been challenging me with that like we are not to put a damper on things and not to to bring us down, but just bring in humility. The lack of anything that we can bring to God in ourselves other than an open and willing vessel for him to use us. I think that has been challenging, and it's kind of brings to light more of what Jesus talks about when he kind of condemns the Pharisees. Those Pharisees are the most righteous people. We always look at them in a bad light because that is how the Bible presents them, and it is they did not have the right heart towards God. But if we looked at them on an outwardly standpoint, they were the most righteous people that possibly this world has ever seen other than Christ on an outwardly standpoint. So I just want to take the eyes of that in that present day, back 2,000 years ago, looking at the Pharisees at that time, and then comparing that to our own life, and how much of our Christian life do we hold as feeling self-righteous about our ability to serve God, working for God, doing all these ministries and Christian events. And I've been challenged with this as I've come into a ministry role at Cape Henry, how easy it is to fall into just working for God and knowing the right words to say, knowing the right passages, the right prayers. Like, it's not hard to look on the outside, to look righteous, but God calls us to to present everything to him, not just what we view as sinfulness. So I just want to break that down. So we've also often heard, like Galatians 2:20, where it says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This also goes on with Romans 6:6-7. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." So in saying that, I want to compare that to the 2 Corinthians 5 here, where it says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded that one has died for all, therefore all have died." So throughout the Bible, it is seen, especially in the New Testament, that we're to die to ourselves. But what does that mean? Is that just what we view as being bad? No, that is our whole self. When it says here in verse 17 that, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Let's not confuse new creation as being upgraded creation, I think. I think sometimes that's how we may view that passage, that, okay, I've come to Christ, I see all the sin, I see the jealousy that I have, I see the lust that I have, I see the impatience, I see the anger that I have, I see all this, I'm giving it to you, Christ. And in that, I believe that you will take it away, you will wash me clean of that. But here's the good stuff that I have still. Like, we can hold on to that, right? Like, look at how patient I am, look at how good I am with my kids, look at how humble I am. Like, look at all this. Like, I'm naturally good at this, aren't I? And it's such a dangerous view to have, because we can't just view sin as being what is outwardly sin, but that is sinfulness of the heart. And back from the beginning, we see that it comes from pride. And self-righteousness, in its essence, is pride. And so, yes, it might look good from the outside, but anything done without faith is sin. And that has been a huge challenge to me. And what does that mean? And how... it just kind of shows over and over again how the lack of anything righteous, anything good in God's sight that I have in myself. And that is why the importance, that is why the significance of Jesus coming down, taking that sin, not only what we see as bad, but also what we see as maybe good. So just to expand on that, I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 15:10-15, and if this sounds confusing, and if it seems really out of place, I'll explain after. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Samuel, 'I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments.' And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, 'Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be you to the Lord. I've performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen that I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction." So just to bring context to this passage, the Lord had commanded Saul to go to the Amalekites and destroy everything, obliterate the city. And sometimes it's hard for us, and that's a whole nother passage to lots of struggle in justifying God's goodness in that. But I believe there is, God is good, but that is a whole nother passage, so I won't go into that. But he had commanded for Saul and the army to kill and destroy every human being and all the animals, everything that lived in the city. And it seems harsh, and it seems like, how does this tie in? But I'll bring it in. Saul had listened to the Lord. He had put to death everything that he saw sinful in the Amalekites. But what was the one thing he didn't put to death? It was the sheep and the livestock. And what did they use livestock for in that day? It was to make sacrifices to the Lord, wasn't it? So in Saul's mind, he was doing the Lord a favor, wasn't he? He was saving all these sheep and livestock to save for the Lord, to give back to him. But if the Lord commands everything to be put to death, then that is everything. That is what we view as being righteous in our eyes. That is what we view as being a blessing to God. That is, here, I'm naturally gifted in this way, so I can keep that, and I'll bless God with it. Here, I can, I'll sing. I can sing. He's gifted me to be able to sing, so yeah, I don't need to put that to death. I'll sing it out. I'll sing praises to the Lord. But no, yes, again, it looks good from the outside, and it's not saying that that is bad. It's not saying that the Lord despises sacrifices, but it's in the context of what he's asking him to do. And if it's disobeying God in an act of thinking that we know better, then that is sin. So, coming back to this, what is that we hold on to? What are the livestock that we hold on to that we think we can bless God with? And it comes from good motives. It's not like we're there conniving or whatever and thinking, oh, like I'm doing something so evil. That's the subtlety of it. That is what's kind of eye-opening, is that we need to be conscious of that. We need to be conscious of coming back to Christ in everything that we do. It says in Galatians 3:3, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" So we come to Christ by faith. Now is not the time to start figuring out ourselves and start looking like a good Christian sort of thing. That will come, that will flow out of our relationship with Christ and bringing everything to him on a day-to-day basis. And I'm not saying that in a sense that I have it figured out, and that is the beauty of it, that it is a lifelong journey with Christ. It is lifelong dying to ourselves and allowing Christ to live. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. If we work backwards there, you can see, one has died for all, therefore all have died. Because of this, the love of Christ controls us. So it is Christ who controls us because he has died and we have died with him. And so as we have sung, we've been raised and it is because he lives that we can face tomorrow. It is his life that is now flowing through us, and that is not just when we see our wretchedness, but that is coming before him every day, knowing that we can't go through the day in our own righteousness, in our own appearance, our own reputation. And reputation, I think, can sometimes be a dangerous thing. To find our, I don't know if this would work, can you find your reputation in your reputation? I don't know. But I think sometimes that's what we can do. We can have this standard for ourselves, like I've been a Christian my whole life, so I'm not going to do that because it's going to blemish my Christian character. As I read out, that's what has been challenging me. Is it sinning against myself, or is it sinning in the knowledge that it's sinning against God himself? So there's two sides of it, and I'm kind of jumping ahead here. And hopefully you're getting something from this. This is kind of what's been brewing in my mind for the past couple weeks now, and I just pray that there's clarity in it. Because as it goes on, why I love this passage here in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21, it's split up into three different sections, you could say. Verse 14 to 17, it is going through how we have died, how there's nothing in ourselves, it is in Christ. And then 16 to 20, it goes on about God's reconciliation through Christ to us, how we are empty in ourselves to be righteous, and how through that God has reconciled, he has made right, we are justified because Christ has come. And through that, verse 21, I love this. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So it ties it all together. We have died to ourselves completely, not just upgraded ourselves. Jesus isn't an add-on. And for some of you, this is probably a very familiar message. I know at Cape and Ray, it is a very, it's a message that comes, we come back to every time, but there's a reasons for that, and every time I hear it, I'm blown away, and it is a reminder and refreshment to me. So I pray that as you hear this, as so easy it can be done, I've done it myself, when you hear something that you already know, you can kind of turn yourself off. I pray that that is not the case, because this is a message that needs to be stated over and over in our lives. It needs to be stated over and over in my life, that each and every day Christ is my life, and I continue to fall in love with him through that. And through that, it is his righteousness that is shown through my life. And so, going back to the reputation isn't bad. If we had a very bad reputation, then that would not be a good ambassador of Christ, would it? So it's not saying, okay, cut your reputation, do something random, do something completely out of character of you. But I think it's bringing back what in your reputation are you holding on to? Is it that Christian character? Is it the religion of Christianity? Or are you finding your righteousness in the righteousness of Christ, as it said here? So, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. So self-righteousness versus Christ's righteousness. I pray that we can, as we come together and listen to this message and go from here, that we can dwell on what do we find our righteousness in? What are some areas that we may fall into self-righteousness? Because like I said before, it can be very subtle in what we do. And again, I'm not saying this to that we come in here, this traveling church, and just give this big challenge and make you feel bad. That is not the case at all. I pray that this is an encouragement for that. But I think it is a very, very vital and important message to consider and just to dwell on. In Christ, we are a new creation. That is everything about us. Of course, he will use the characteristics and the gifts that he's given us to glorify himself. But we need to be open and willing to die to ourselves completely in that. So as I close, I just pray that you can dwell on that. And I'm just going to sing one more song. And it's Rock of Ages. And I think it ties beautifully into this message. So I'm going to read out the lyrics. If you want to close your eyes and just dwell on them and think about them. That we have nothing if we don't have Christ. So I'll sing it out, or I'll read it out and then sing. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hand can fulfill thy law's commands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow. All for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. So, yeah, just continue sitting and just dwelling on these lyrics.
Thank you, Connor, for sharing with us today, and thank you for the Cape and Ray team for being part of our service and blessing us with your presence and your ministry today. If you're visiting with us, we have morning tea after our service, so please stay and share together in fellowship following the conclusion of our service. We're going to pray now as we close. Father, we have nothing to commend ourselves to you. We come purely in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and your Son. We thank you that he willingly gave up his life so that we might have life, his resurrected life. Thank you for that message this morning, reminding us of that great reality of the substitution of Jesus Christ in our place, that you made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can stand here today and come into your presence, forgiven sinners, because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed upon the cross. We thank you for his death and his life, his resurrected life. And we commit ourselves to you today as we move from this place into the week ahead of us. We commit ourselves to you, each one, and pray, Lord, that you might cause us to continue to be reminded of that relationship that we can have with you through Jesus, his life in ours, so that we might be a testimony to the world around us. Lord, forgive us of the sins that we have committed, as we know you've done at the cross, and take us, Lord, from this place with humility and love for you and for others. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.